League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Of the Shake It and Disturb, little country today.
Carp, if you will.
Cowboy Carper.
Look out. That's right. Or a cowboy carpenter. Cowboy Carpenter, as I once called you. We've been reminiscing about our friendship on NMR. So
10 years. Well, welcome to Shake and Disturb. I am Darren Carp, here with my lover, John Thrasher.
Let's not go that far.
We have sex every day. I think we can call it what it is. You know,
we do.
We have sexual relationship. I mean, I think it's with you. Yeah, I thought it was with you. I keep
yelling
at John.
No, all the lights are off,
and nothing seems to matter. So
yeah, no, all the lights are off. Everything's gross. You know.
Well, we have to keep all the lights off because otherwise we would never be able to make sweet, sweet love every night.
But okay, interesting.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, and happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone. I heard this the other day. Someone said this to me the other day, but you know, it's like when you have small talk with someone and you're talking like, "Oh, the weather, huh? It's kind of crazy." The small talk has now moved to, can you fucking believe it's May?
And I know it's true.
And fair point, because I can't believe that the year is half done.
I can't either. And I don't know how you feel. This is your first half of the year in LA. And I want to hear what your thoughts are about that. Because for me, as you know, I moved to Pittsburgh in December and it has been extremely cold. What?
Just like you moving in December.
Oh,
like,
I know.
You know, like I don't like it feels like you just moved.
I know. I did in a lot of ways, but like it has been so cold here all the way up through 2 weeks ago, you know, like the beginning of May, really. And it's like all winter long up here. I'm like, when will it stop snowing? When will it not be 3 degrees outside? And then it's just like immediately became hot and 80, all the trees bloomed at the exact same time in less than 3 days. I went to New York a couple of weeks ago for the Tony Awards press junket, which I've talked about on NMR and stuff. And when I came back from, it was like the trees didn't have leaves before I left. And then when I came back, they did. And I'm not exaggerating. It's the weirdest thing.
I mean, two weeks can really change. Even out in the marina where I live, it's been kind of chilly, in a very pleasant way. Like it doesn't feel oppressive at all. I mean, it's sort of its own ecosystem around here just because it's on the water. So you're really getting that sea breeze. But I can't believe I've been out in LA almost a year.
And do you feel the year? Because like I always kind of gauge the year by the seasons in some weird sense, like subconsciously. Do you feel that movement the same way?
You know, it's interesting because I certainly like in New York, you felt like you earned the weather, and out here, it's not that same thing.
Right.
But
right.
like, I do notice a change. It's funny. My friend Molly, when I was talking about it, I was like, yeah, it's been kind of cold here. She goes, oh, we're in May gray. And I was like, oh, that's a thing. And she's like, yeah, May gray, June gloom, July and August fucking suck.
Oh, okay. Well, I go, write that down.
Thank you for the meteorology report, Molly. Thank you so much. I was like, what a good weather synopsis.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't notice it in the same way, but I think just time in general, you know, my birthday really kicks off.
That's right.
Kind of, happy, as I said birthday. To my friend who has kids, I was like, my birthday always kind of kicks off happiness because that's this almost, it's either college graduation, which congrats to your nephew, or it's the end pretty much of the school year for kids. Right. You know, they probably have maybe 3 weeks left, but it's certainly Memorial Day, and people kind of view summer as Memorial Day to Labor Day. That's when I think colloquially we think of summer. And so mine always kind of kicks that off. And I had my birthday, and because we're recording this a little early, I'll have to explain what happened on my birthday on next week's episode, on next MMR. But yeah, it's kind of weird. It's just time. COVID killed all time. And
I know we were talking about
flies. It just totally flies.
We were just talking about NMR. We'll get into this week's episode in a moment. But on NMR this week, we were talking about my nephew who just graduated high school, which Darren just congratulated me on. And him on, but his class was the COVID class, the year COVID broke out, and That is so weird to think about that his high school years just flew by, you know, during basically this the early parts of this pandemic. And yeah, it's just a weird, it's a weird time. I feel old too, by the way, because he's 18 and I remember the day I met him, and it was just lots of weird things. But nonetheless, you
Yeah.
guys, happy Memorial Day weekend if you're listening
Wait,
to
I
us
hope you
when this
guys are
comes out.
enjoying wherever you
Yeah.
are with friends or by
Hot
yourself or
dogs,
whatever you're doing.
whatever.
We hope you're having a great time because that's all that John and I care about. And I actually wanted to shout out, if you haven't listened to last week's
Yes.
episode, John's friend and former colleague, but now my friend Caitlin Van Maal, who's the host of Live to Tell. We talked about all the survivor stories that she really had. She had just really,
Such a
really
good
good stuff to
episode.
say. Speaking of time flying, I mean, I felt like we talked to her for 15 minutes and then John texted me. He's like, "So that episode was 45." And I was like,
I
"Wait, what?" Like, I felt like we barely asked anything.
It was
So
so strange. Yeah, I
thank you
was
to Kat,
editing.
Caitlin.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you there. Yes, thank you, Caitlin, for coming on. Yeah, I was like editing the show and I was like, surely this won't be that long. And then by the end, it was like one of our longer, more recent episodes. So yeah, it was a good one. So thank you, Caitlin, again for coming on.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this week's case. That is, you know, a near and dear starts off in a near and dear year to my heart. My brother was born in 1985,
Oh,
so
was he? I didn't know he was. He's older than me.
he is because you were born in 86, right?
What?
Yes.
Yeah, I always thought he was younger than you.
I know. It's weird that people think that he's
Guys.
younger than me. I
Yeah.
always this like really hurts his ego, and that's just better for me. I just have to remind people, but yes, my brother is a little bit more than 3 years older than me.
Older. Wow, that's interesting. Why? I feel like I've known you for 10 years. We just
You know
celebrated our 10-year
nothing.
anniversary. I know nothing about you.
That's right.
Well, as Darren put it, on August 9th, when was he born, by the way? Pop
February
quiz.
9th.
February 9th. Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Something's going on here. We'll have to investigate this episode. But anyway, on August 9th, 1985, a baby named Stephen Marshall was born to Ralph and Margaret Marshall of Fort Worth, Texas, where the family resided until 1992. When Stephen was 4 years old, he and his parents moved north, excuse me, to Nova Scotia. Stephen lived there for about a year until the summer of 1993. Margaret gave birth to a baby girl, and her 5-year-old son returned to the Southwest to live with his grandparents in Arizona. Margaret, so a lot of things already going on. I mean, he's 5 years on, 5 years old. He's moving around a little bit. Now the family has a new sibling, you
Now he's not
know.
with his parents anymore,
Yeah,
you
he's
know,
moving
which,
back to
right.
Arizona. Yeah. Yeah, so Margaret and her new baby joined Stephen in Arizona just a few months later. So now they're back together, you know. Now, this would be his parents' first stint of time apart, of which there were several before their eventual separation in 2004, about 10 years later. Stephen moved around quite a bit, as I just mentioned, during his childhood and changed schools within the same district a few times, as he seemed to be a prime target for bullies, sadly. In 1999, Stephen finally moved to Idaho to live with his father, you know. So here we are moving yet again in the hopes of gaining some stability and being able to attend all of high school in the same place. You know, and I have to give another shout out really quickly to my nephew, Davion. He and his family had to move around a few times during his high school years. And, you know, that's not easy. I always say I was so lucky because
He had to
I'm,
switch high schools or he just moved
yeah,
houses.
He did have
Oh,
to
that's
switch some high
hard. That's
schools. Yeah,
hard.
it's hard for high schoolers, especially. I did it a little bit when I was younger, you know, by the time I was in fourth grade, it was very stable. But and I remember how that felt back in those days, like leaving friends behind and making new ones, even as a young child, it's tough. So, you know, going through all of this, it can't be easy, even regardless of how old you are. But nonetheless, in 2000, Stephen, who was now 14 years old, made his own website a catalog of, quote, sweetest picks of weapons that you can find anywhere. Now, let's put this in a little bit of context. Go ahead, Darren. What were you going to
Oh,
say?
I was going to say, you know, I've been thinking about this because when I remember being in elementary school, and I want to say I was probably in like third grade, maybe second grade, young. I was young. And I remember print, like, I remember me and a couple of the guys because I was such a tomboy. I had a lot of guy friends.
Lesbian, yeah.
And I remember like we would print out a bunch of these like warplanes and weapons and like talk and like bring them to school and like compare them. We were just like printing them out on pieces of
Sure,
paper. But I remember like
sure.
printing out these like cool fighter jets and these tanks and stuff like that. And I'm kind of thinking now, you know, I don't ever remember it being weird. I don't remember my parents ever asking it. I just remember it being, we were like playing games with them.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of thinking now, just based on the internet, when it's like sweetest pics of weapons you can find anywhere, which feels very like elementary school from how I kind of grew up. If this would be red flags to people, whereas I never really, no one never thought about it. I mean, obviously we weren't actually bringing weapons, but it was printouts of stuff. And like, sometimes I think about that of like, if I saw my kid doing that, would that be like, are we so scared and so triggered of anything possibly happening that are things that are really innocuous that people are just into? Are we looking at these things as like, oh shit, like, you know,
it's hobbies or that's a good point. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going too in a second ago, because let's put this in a little more context. The reason we think this way now is because you and I as adults have seen all the mass shootings and everything else that society has gone through, especially in America all these years. But in 2000...
And Columbine had just happened.
I was just going to say that, yes.
I think it happened in 99?
That's right, April 1999. So assuming it's about a year or so after that, and... You know, even a year after that, are people really aware of like the quote unquote signs? And would it be weird if they printed out pictures like this, like you were saying? But nonetheless, he has a website that is named literally Sweetest Pics of Weapons That You Can Find Anywhere. So to us listening to this in 2024 with a true crime podcast, very sus. But nonetheless, this site also included a list of his personal dislikes, which included the following things. Number one, asthma. Let's go down the list.
Okay, well, no one loves
asthma. We get that. No one loves asthma. Yeah. No one wakes up with asthma one day and they're like, oh my God, thank you.
What a great thing to have.
I love having asthma.
Right, exactly.
Number two, my job. Duh. Nobody wants a job. No one wants a job. You know.
I mean, I want a job.
We want a job. Let's not be ungrateful. Let's not be ungrateful.
I like
cleaning. Oh my God. I hate cleaning.
Okay, see, I like
the accomplishment. I like the accomplishment feeling, but not the, like, obviously
the act
of doing
it. So far, he's got me on asthma, but everything else I like.
Okay? Yeah, the next one's school. You know, who wants to deal with school?
See, I like school.
School can be nice. It's just depending on what, you know, what you're doing.
Right.
Okay, next one gets a little weird. Society. I like society. Call me crazy.
I like society. But again, this kid's 14. So
that's right. He's 14. Yeah. That's right. The next one, the disgusting commercialization of our daily lives. I mean,
I'm kind of surprised a 14-year-old would say that. That seems like something a 14-year-old would read or hear from his
parents.
I was
just going to say that. Who's saying this?
Because like, I don't know if a 14-year-old really knows what commercialization actually means. And I'm not sure they really understand if that's good or bad.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You know,
the next one, minorities getting special treatment. Well, listen, deal
the
with
gays
it.
Out
the gays
here.
Are out. Just, yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Another one is, in fact, minorities and the gays. Deal with it.
Okay.
We're here. We're
all
here.
Right, so
we're
I agree with him on that. Okay. I agree with him on that.
Yeah. Darren agrees
so
with you.
Asthma, minorities.
Asthma,
and gays.
Minorities, and gays. Yeah. We're against it for legal purposes and for not being canceled. That's a joke. Yeah. Men who, and now here's a weird one, men who don't keep their women in line.
I mean, listen, I've
that.
Been trying to keep John in line for many years. And guys,
everyone's
it's a pet peeve of mine too.
Yeah.
Okay, this also sounds like you are on the internet and you go to these like toxic masculinity
chat rooms,
incel
maybe.
Chat rooms. Because like, again, a 14-year-old, it just feels like unless you're getting it from your dad or some other like male influence, it's like, where are you absorbing this from?
Right. That's a good point. And let's remember, no one has an iPhone in their pocket. The internet is still in probably dial-up mode, I think, at this point. So, you know, access to that kind of persuasion isn't as abundant as you might think it is today. Now, Darren, here's one where I think you're going to have a major problem with. He also doesn't like women in general. Now, I know as a lesbian.
Asthma, gays, minorities, women. Same page. Great.
And then yeah, I think it is you. And then lastly, he says that he hates, quote, the man, you know, working for the man, quote unquote, and his rules, which, okay. He seems very philosophical. Listen, teenagers are like this. They're maybe starting, not philosophical, but, you know,
defiant,
some,
though, certainly.
Yes,
of
that's
any
a good
sort
way
of authority of anything. These are not too, these are not deeply intellectual thoughts.
No. Also,
very odd.
And also, by the way, I had one of these websites. Obviously, it was not a collection of weapons and things I hate, but I had, you remember GeoCities and like
Yes.
some of these other, like, you could build your own website type of
Sure.
accounts. They were almost in a way a social, a form of social media, if you will. And I'd always like, I'd have like a picture of me and I would have like a daily blog and I'd put my top 10 songs on it. Of course, they were all Spice Girls, Let Me Live. But yeah, I love the idea of like running my own website when I was like 14
Whenever
years old.
any of you guys smash that subscribe button, if you're watching on YouTube, but
What?
whenever John talks about like a picture of him or something that he's gonna, he always
I
pretends to tuck
pose.
hair behind his ear, and he's always
Oh
like,
yeah, I do.
and then, and I'm like,
And
sweetie,
then
you don't have hair.
let me live my life, please.
It's so cute.
I
You're always like,
excuse me, yes, I do have
and
hair.
then I know, but
But
it's
not to
like me
tuck behind
combing,
my
it's like
ear.
me brushing my hair like this. It's
You're
like,
like,
it's so good. All right, let's get back to the case. So
yes.
in 2001, Stephen and his friends set up a group called the Slackers Coalition in Arms, whose purpose was to help students protect themselves from quote unquote the tyrannical education institution.
Okay.
Okay, I have a feeling I know where this is going. Now, the
Yeah.
same year, 15-year-old Stephen and one of his friends were arrested and charged with the crime of molesting a minor. Pretty curious as to what that kind of entailed or what was kind of going on there, but obviously with minors, they tend to not release a lot of the details just because they are
Yeah,
underage
that's
people
true.
that do that. But so we have to just take it that arrested and charged with crime of molesting a minor, whatever that means. Now, instead
Yeah.
of punishment, Stephen was ordered to receive counseling and was placed on probation. That probably makes sense, given the age. 15
Yeah.
years old sounds like it's more of a behavioral issue than maybe a sickness of pedophilia or something like that. So unclear, but I would probably recommend counseling over before like juvie or something like that.
Yeah. Who knows
Now,
exactly the
Megan
details there?
wanted to make this note here as she does our research.
Yes.
Now, Megan was unable to find more information on this charge, how, because, like I said, of how old the alleged victim was, but it's totally possible the minor in question was the same age as Stephen and their encounter was consensual. As we talked about, 16-year-olds do have sex, but that is considered rape, statutory rape. Well, I guess maybe not statutory, but it is considered illegal because there are two underage people having sex, even if it is consensual.
Okay.
And their parents press charges, which could de facto stuck for everyone because everyone involved was under 18.
Got it.
But she just included this fact because it feels extremely
Yes.
relevant to the rest of the story. So I do want
Which
to
we'll get
say that we
to.
shouldn't necessarily color Steven's perception of it. If he was with a girl and the girl was like, touch my boobs, and he did, and the parents found out, they could have easily complained and they could have easily had him arrested for sexual assault, even though it was consensual. So even on the sex offender list, there are people that are on there who have sex with underage people, but the underage people are a year younger than them, 17,
Right.
16, 18, 16, which, newsflash, this happens all the time in high school. So I
Yeah.
do, it's a lot different than molesting young boys and girls,
Yeah,
right?
that's the thing that's interesting
That's
is
why I
that
have a
being.
little bit of problem with the sex offender list,
Well,
because it doesn't
oh, for
delineate
sure. Yeah.
the proper connotation. Because in theory, if you're having sex before the proper age, then you were considered rape, and I wouldn't consider myself in that category.
Listen, if you pee outside and a police officer wants to charge you
Right.
for it, you're on a sex offender list because your
Exactly. So
genitals have been out in the public. Yeah.
I do encourage people to maybe look a little bit deeper than just that blanket list, because it's not hard to get on that list.
Yeah,
It's very
that's a good
hard to get
point.
off of it. So in April of
Yes.
2001, Stephen found himself in trouble with the law again. Now, this time for breaking up a fight in front of his house by coming outside with an AR-15. Now, Stephen was put on probation again, this time for 6 months, and was ordered to take a hunting and gun safety course. He was also required to write letters of apology to the brawlers, as well as pay as a paper on teenage violence. Now, following his sentencing, Stephen was evaluated by a psychiatrist who noted that the young man was prone to questioning authority, and fairly distrusting of others, as we could see from his list of
Yeah.
dislikes and shit like that. Now, though the doctor noted that Stephen is, quote, likely to be quite introspective and calculating, he also concluded that there were no signs present that he'd likely be able to escalate his crimes in the future.
Yeah, but it's like, it is a doctor. I don't want to sound like I
It's also
know
hard to
something more.
say,
Yeah,
you know,
how
like,
can you de
again, with
determine that?
me, I'm printing out planes and weapons and cool shit. And like, I never thought about it. I mean, obviously, like,
Well,
that was never a problem for me, you
that's
know? And so
true,
it's like,
right?
who knows? It's such a fine line. And so sometimes I think, even though people have the best intentions, they end up really harming a lot of things and harming a lot of people and a lot of families and a lot of lives. Sometimes I do believe that society creates criminals as opposed to them being born that way.
Yeah.
Not
yeah, it's a very interesting
case,
theory.
But just in general. Yeah.
No, it is. And I just can't help but I can't stop thinking about the correlation of this stuff happening around Columbine. I mean, for those who weren't alive or don't remember it, like, you know, it was shocking. It wasn't like how we deal with things now, where it's like every few months there's a mass shooting and we all kind of grieve together. It's like this was the first time this kind of happened in a way that it did. So, you know, I do wonder if the doctor and all the other, you know, professionals here are have that on their minds, for lack of a better word.
So, well, yeah, you know, I mean, even I think about this sometimes with, I remember my mom was actually saying this when my brother was really young. He fell on our front porch and he got a black eye. And every time she took him to the grocery store, you know, people would look at him as if, you know, and it's like, kids fall, kids get bruised.
Yeah,
but at the same
kids,
time, the one out of 1 millionth parent that might be hitting their kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? And obviously, like, and so if someone called CPS on my mom, you know, and it's like a lot of those things happen a lot. And I think with good intentions, but they tend to really affect a lot of families negatively. And so I do encourage people to be a little bit more open-minded to these types of things.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So in the summer of 2002 now, Stephen moved back to Arizona to live with his relatives and complete his senior year of high school. So again, moving around a lot. The summer after his graduation in 2003, so he's only a year older than I am now, actually, he visited his mother and sister in Nova Scotia for the first time since moving out in 1999 and decided to move back permanently. Now, once established in his new city, Stephen tried to join the Canadian military, but was denied because of his asthma, which was number one on his list
dislike.
Of things. Yes.
Yeah.
So throughout 2004, Stephen stayed living with his mother. He visited a psychiatrist a couple times for depression, but stopped seeing the doctor after only a few appointments. You have to wonder what happened with that. You know, mental health approaches are probably much different 20 years ago. Early in 2005, Stephen moved out of his mother's home once more and into a rooming house, living alone for the first time. In April, a convicted pedophile named Francis Doyle was released from prison and moved into the same rooming house. I'm assuming a rooming house is one of those kind of like, maybe not a halfway house, but kind of like a public housing. Yeah, see,
I've never heard
find.
Of that term.
Yeah, I haven't either. But Stephen left the house later that same month and moved into an apartment with three of his friends. And in January 2006, Stephen's friends began to notice that Stephen was acting very oddly and perhaps suffering from depression. Now, you know, do you have an update?
Stop you there. Yeah, rooming houses, it's like a zoning classification or lodging house. It refers to the keeping of roomers in sufficient numbers to constitute an independent land use. Another thing for it is basically like a boarding house,
a lodging
house, stuff like that, with people who are not related.
Got it. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, in January of 06, you know, his friends start to notice that he's maybe acting differently. Maybe it's depression. Stephen met with a pastor actually at his mother's church, and the pastor convinced Stephen to let Jesus into his life as a means to cure his depression. And as a result, of course, Stephen began attending church regularly. And I do have to say, you know, one of the things about depression is like, you never really know the signs. Like, you might think somebody is depressed and they're not, or vice versa, but it's always good to check in with people and offer a lending ear or helping hand, because you just never know what people are going through. You know,
sometimes people are moody and people want to, you know, I mean, there's also that too.
I'm guilty of that. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. It's funny, 'cause like, you know, I'm a Gemini. And so people are like, oh, you got two personalities. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like a good mood, bad mood? Like are like Aquariuses not in bad moods ever? Like are Capricorns just never angry? Like, I don't understand that. But like, yeah, see the fake hair people. He's just like,
No, I'm over here. I'm an Aquarius. We're good. Like, honestly, Aquariuses are like, can everyone just chill? Like, I really do feel like that's like what every Aquarius I know is like. But
my brother's an Aquarius. Okay.
And he's probably thinks that way from what I know of him.
Yeah.
No.
My brother's the worst. On April my best friend.
Ooh.
On April 11th, 2006, Stephen made two
Are Zoe's notes.
We've got a note. Sorry, had to. Keep going. Sorry.
On April 11th, 2006, Stephen made two large withdrawals from his bank account.
Never a good sign.
The first was for $500. Okay. Yeah. Not necessarily that crazy, but the second was for $2,657. And the reason this is interesting is because he just left a mere 61 cents in the account. So clearly not someone who cares about, he wants to use his life savings, it feels like, for something here. Now, early the following day, Stephen left home telling his roommates that he planned to visit a friend for a few days in Cape Breton, which is a town about 3.5 hours northeast of Nova Scotia. Instead of heading to his friend, though, Stephen begins journeying to Holton, Maine, about a 5-hour journey west.
Yeah, I mean, goodness. There's all kinds of like journeying and moving and living in a house. And what's
assuming he has his passport, because obviously like you're crossing state, you're crossing country borders here. So we didn't get into the citizen aspect of it, but just go with me.
Yeah.
So on his way, he stops in an electronic store called The Source, which is formerly known as Radio Shack before it rebranded. Oh. We all remember those Radio Shacks, where he used Canadian money transferring service similar to Venmo to make a large purchase, spending nearly $1,100, which we know that he had from his withdrawal account. Now, his mother saw the large purchase and assumed he had purchased a new laptop computer.
It's about right. That's about what they were going for back then, even.
Yeah. Now, Stephen stops for the night in New Brunswick, about halfway to his dad's house. And at the hotel, he phoned his roommate to check in and lie about his whereabouts, claiming he had stopped to visit his grandparents. So something fishy's going on if he's even lying to his roommates. Stephen arrived at his father's house in Maine on April 13th. His father apparently knew of his upcoming visit and did expect his arrival. And on April 15th, 2 days later, Stephen's supervisor left a message on his phone complaining that he missed a shift at the restaurant where he worked as a dishwasher. Stephen did not return this phone call.
So and now after, things are getting really sus, by the way.
A little weird. Obviously, if you're withdrawing a huge account, you're kind of flaking on your job. You're going across country lines to go visit your dad. There is something a little bit more permanent about that. Lying to your roommates. After midnight on the morning of 8th, Stephen took his father's pickup truck and left home. Stephen brought with him his laptop, 3 guns. Okay. He brought a handgun, a Colt 45, and an AR-15 style assault rifle. How he got sort of access to these guns, I'm not really sure.
Right.
Maybe his mom had them. It's unclear just how he could kind of take them and use them. He did obviously take that gun safety course, but who kind of knows? Now, he was headed to the home of a man named Joseph Gray, who lived in Milo, Maine, about 1.5 hours away from his dad's house. 57-year-old Joseph Gray was a convicted sex offender who had been found guilty of assaulting a child under the age of 14.
Wow, that's horrible. So it sounds like he's on a little bit of a mission, a cross-country, cross-border mission here. Yeah. So around 3 a.m., Joseph's dogs began barking at something outside, and Joseph's wife woke him up to investigate. And as he got up, Stephen shot the man through his window before driving away. Joseph was fatally wounded and died before receiving medical attention. Stephen then drove around for a few hours, passing by the homes of 4 other men who were also convicted of pedophilia in the state of Maine. Around 8 a.m., Stephen arrived at the mobile home of 24-year-old William Elliott and gunned him down in his doorway. William was another convicted sex offender. At the age of 19, he was found guilty of having sex with a minor.
Vigilante Dexter style, like Dexter is sort of this serial killer who kills other serial killers. And Stephen was this sort of this, you know, he obviously had his run-ins with everything, but again, the sex offender thing is a very loose term and not necessarily an amoral term for some, an immoral term for some people. So it's, don't know how I feel about this.
Well, to your point, the minor in question was this person's 15-year-old girlfriend, and the age of consent in Maine is 16. So, you know, kids, you know, it's, you don't want to get into the weeds about it, but it's kind of like this happens with teenagers, you know, even if they are over the age of 18.
Yeah, exactly.
William's girlfriend, William's girlfriend witnessed the murder, wrote down the license plate number of Stephen's pickup truck and called the police, who immediately began trying to locate the vehicle. After shooting William, Stephen stopped near a bus station in Bangor, abandons the truck, and drops his remaining bullets into a toilet tank in one of the bus station bathrooms. He then purchased a ticket to Boston and boarded his bus. He's on a roll. This guy, I can't imagine what his, you know, Delta points and his frequent flyer miles and, you know, if he has a credit card, it's really racking up those points. But anyway, authorities were able to track the truck's license plate. And when they found the abandoned vehicle near the bus station, they figure out fairly quickly that Stephen is en route to Boston. So every state in the country has a public sex offender registry designed to let community members know the whereabouts of people who have been convicted of pedophilia and sexual assault so that they're able to protect themselves and their children. By the way, you can go on right now to a website. You can put in your address and you can see all of the convicted sex offenders that live around you if you really want to.
Yes, you can.
But in Canada, these registries are private and only available to law enforcement. So what I just mentioned is really only available for us in the United States.
Police were able to determine that Stephen had accessed the main sex offender registry and was targeting the homes of the men listed using the personal information included on the website. So this is how he knew to go to Joseph's house. This is how he sort of knew to target William. Stephen had downloaded his victims' names, addresses, and photos from Maine's registry. Authorities temporarily took the Maine sex offender registry offline. And by the afternoon of April 16th, the murders of Joseph and William are all over the news. This is how Stephen's mom, Margaret, learned that police were on the hunt for her son. Around 8 p.m. that evening, Stephen's bus pulled into the terminal and was immediately surrounded by authorities.
He's probably none the wiser, by the way, because again, no one had iPhones and Snapchat and YouTube in their pockets back then the way they do
and
now.
Maybe he thinks he's doing something moral.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you know, I mean, there was the guy, what is it, the blanking on it now, it's just so bad, Green River Killer, who was like killing prostitutes, you know,
that's
and he
right.
was like sex workers, but I'm just saying he would call them as prostitutes, you know, and they thought that they were immoral, so he was ridding society of them, you know. Now, when Stephen realized he had no chance of escaping police, Stephen put the barrel of his Colt 45 to his head, pulled the trigger, all the while still aboard his bus. 20-year-old Stephen was brought to Boston Medical Center where he was pronounced dead from his self-inflicted gunshot wound. This is obviously a kid who suffered a lot.
Yeah.
In the days and weeks following the murders, police were unable to find any further connection between the victims and their killer. Stephen did keep an online blog that police found. The journal contained hateful rants about pedophiles, interspersed with writings about his love of firearms. We sort of saw this when he was a kid.
Yeah.
There was a section of his blog titled, quote, "How to Kill Yourself Like a Man," end quote, where he discussed different suicide techniques. I've actually talked about this before, that the suicide rate, the attempts are higher for women, but the completion rate is higher for men because men tend to do the more, quote unquote, bold thing, like take a gun to their head, as opposed to women who tend to like swallow a lot of pills and don't want to feel the pain, which tend to not be a successful attempt. So some more attempts with women, but more success with men.
Yeah.
Now, however, nowhere in his writings was there any real clue as to why Stephen chose to commit these murders. It does feel very targeted. Stephen's murders are far from the only assaults on those listed on the U.S. Sex Offenders Registry. However, at this time, there does not seem to be any plan for the government to make offender information private. And, you know, I really am of two minds. I'm not sure how it helps people to look at a sex offender list to notice who's around in their neighborhood. I'm not sure that makes people safer. I really don't. I'm not quite convinced of this. I understand parents kind of want to know who their neighbors are and this and that, and make sure that they're not violent criminals. But just given the sex offender list, I'm not sure that knowing that Sam across the street is a sex offender because he had sex with his 16-year-old girlfriend when he was 18 makes anyone more safe. That guy or the family. And so I'm sort of two minds of this. I understand kind of wanting to know, but I really think this is sort of a road to hell is paved with good intentions, and this might do more harm than good. But I'm not a parent. Let me know what you guys think, you know, whether it's on Patreon, on YouTube, on our Facebook page, Shaken and Disturbed. Podcast fans, let us know at Carpe Darren, at Jay Thrasher. John, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, Megan, when she's originally pitched this idea to us and we were kind of discussing this case, you know, she makes the good point that I think you just kind of put up, Darren, which is, you know, did these people, quote unquote, deserve it more than anyone else? I think, you know, and Megan says it's an interesting thought experiment. I mean, you know, you never want anyone to be murdered, really, right?
No, but I mean, no.
I know a lot of parents that are listening right now are probably being very mama bearish and saying, actually, these people should be murdered. And, you know, we all have our thoughts about that and how it
goes. Or maybe they
down.
Want to know where they are. I mean, I don't know.
At the very least.
Yeah, maybe yeah. I don't, maybe they don't want them to be murdered because, well, you know, they're, then, you know, people can be redeemed. You know, people who make a mistake once, do you want them to be punished for the rest of their lives, especially if they're underage? You know, obviously a 45-year-old having sex with a 9-year-old is a lot different than an 18-year-old having sex
yeah.
with a 17-year-old. And
yes,
so,
of course.
It's just a very complicated, nuanced thing. So let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, and then I was just going to add, too, that I just wonder if something, I hate to even put ourselves in this kind of mindset, but, you know, if he's targeting these types of people, did he feel like this was some sort of revenge? Did he experience some sort of sexual
Little
assault
Dexter,
like this?
Right, because yeah. I feel like because he also got, when he was young,
yeah.
Sort of got mixed up in a little bit of this, I wonder how much he was also maybe a victim and so felt a
totally.
Little bit of justification. But
yeah.
It's kind of hard to know, unfortunately, because he ends up killing himself and we don't have enough information to find out his true motives for anything. But just
right.
a tragic situation all around, I think, for everyone. But let us know what you guys think. And
yeah, let us know.
Let's end on some positivity here. I want to take the first one here, John, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Tegan on our Facebook group responded to our question from a couple episodes ago about the debate of letting a child go back with the mother who may or may not have killed the father, saying, quote, husband is chiming back in, and you agree with me that it's a tricky situation and you don't want to take a kid away from both parents without unquestionable proof.
Fair.
Then he told me to go back to sleep. I worked the night before and asked me not to ask any more weird questions. I think he's getting a little sick of my shit.
Tegan, thanks for being so candid with us about your marriage.
And thank you for being the weirdo and asking the weird questions, because you know what? Those weird questions are kind of important. So thank you.
Yeah, that's the whole point of our show, right? But yeah, it's a good point I think you make there. And I think we kind of all kind of landed on that last time. But Stanley in our Facebook group also reacted to our Mother of Mayhem episode as well, saying, quote, great and horrifying Mother's Day story. If my friends called someone a witch, I'd stay away. End quote. Stanley, do you have to do what's best for you? You know what I
mean?
Yes,
Stanley, you really do. I guess we really did do a fucking Mother of Mayhem on Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day.
Almost too perfect.
I have to say, usually, you know, we have a couple episodes we can choose from at any given moment. It didn't even occur to me that that episode would come out on Mother's Day. So
I don't even know if I put two and two together, but
yeah.
You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah, you're welcome. We're really good at this, you guys. Nothing to see here.
Well, guys, we really appreciate all of your support. Don't forget to support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. Your support can help us keep recording new true crime episodes, and you can get it even cheaper if you sign up annually. Plus, we are trying to fatten up Magic even more, and your donations go
please.
Right into his food bowl, people,
and
right
no,
to Magic's mouth.
I think the donations or the signups, whatever, subscriptions are going to go to a personal cat trainer for him, because
he needs
something.
To lift little kitty weights. He needs to lift.
Yeah,
little
he needs
weights.
Little, like, imagine pumping iron.
Yes.
I know that would be cute.
My man. Yeah.
And by the way, guys, $5 is cheaper than a pack of hot dogs that you're going to be grilling this weekend during Memorial Day. Or is it? Hashtag inflation. I don't even
know.
Where
you go.
I have no
Depends
idea.
Where you go.
And of course, don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube, where you can see our full video episodes and much more. We're posting YouTube shorts clips.
Look at
We're
me smashing that subscribe button.
Moments. Darren's smashing the subscribe button, which you should have done months ago, and it's fine.
Yeah.
But yes, join us in all the different ways that we connect with you guys. And that's it for this week's episode. And of course, we're going to sign off. And I'm going to just remind you more than ever, please make sure you take your vitamins.
Happy Memorial Day, and check your pits on Memorial Day, especially if you have a penis.
See you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.